So if you go on page 10 in the bulletin, as we started the series last week and each of these Sundays in Lent, we're taking a look at the collect. Funny word, it just means kind of collecting the themes of the day or collecting the prayers of the people in one simple prayer. And we're looking at this form because it's a great form for us just to think through for our personal prayers too. So like I did last week, I'm going to read the name of the part, and you read the prayer there on page 10, right, how it's broken up. So the address is, the ground is, you see that of ourselves we, okay, now hold on. I just started this series, and this collect doesn't work with this pattern. What's this normally about? The ground is usually about whom? God. What's this one about? Us. You see, it's kind of like jazz. You know, you got to learn the melody first of a jazz tune. You learn the melody. The band plays through the melody first. And after you've learned the melody, then you can play with it. Then you can improv and mess around with it. And then at the end, you bring it all back together and play through the melody again. That's how jazz works. This is kind of throwing us off. We've barely gotten off the ground, and we're already improvising here on this collect, right? It doesn't even, you know, then the request is by your mighty power. I guess that could be the ground. The request is defend us, really, from all adversities. I messed up. That should probably be with the next part about the result. But it's all just kind of messed up. So now what are we going to do throughout the whole series? Just because, you know, I mean, what was I thinking in creating this series like this? Is anybody else bothered by this? No, you're not, because you're just thinking, well, you made up the series, Pastor, so you're going to have to live with it, right? There's a reason this form is different this day, and I think we can learn something because if it's a different form. So why? Why is this form different? Well, it seems that this ground that we have there, this ground, you see that of ourselves we have no strength, it implies an attribute of God. There's an implied attribute of God. It's telling us something about God. Now, you could say, again, that the ground here, the reason we're praying is by your almighty power. God's almighty power is mentioned here. And perhaps, and they're just kind of swap places, but I think this collect points us to something even more. Another attribute of God implied by the ground of our weakness. Let me read you a quote I found about collects. It says, those who pray collects are not likely to pray for God to do something for which no precedent can be found. Let me say that again. Those who pray collects are not likely to pray for God to do something for which no precedent can be found, for which, you know, no record of God doing something like this. That's the great thing about the collect form, is that it begins with God. Instead of just jumping right to, God, this is what I need, it makes us slow down and remember things about God. Remember what God has been doing, who he is. It slows us down. And here in this collect that says, you know that we of ourselves have no strength, it's making us slow down and remember a precedent, an attribute that's here. It's implied. And I think what it is that we have a God who does not turn us away in weakness. The precedent is that we can come to God and say, you know we're weak. I mean, that's a pretty different kind of an idea of a God. I mean, if you look at all the kinds of ideas of God in the world, a lot of them would not say, walk up to God and begin by saying, you know we're weak. You know we're turned away from you. That's a very different approach. But the only reason we can do that in this prayer is because we know something about God. We know that he will not turn us away in our weakness. You see this in John chapter 3 today, Jesus' conversation with Nicodemus. Jesus says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That is born of our weakness is weak. But God says, I can bring the spirit into your life to be born again of the spirit. The precedent is that God has promised, Jesus has promised that he can do this. He can take us in our weak flesh and he can give us his Holy Spirit and he can strengthen us. He will not turn us away in our weakness. So that's why I love this prayer. Maybe we should have waited for like week 6 on this or something, but this is when it was appointed, okay? So we're trying to do jazz here. We're trying to do a little improv here. We're not quite ready, but I love this prayer. You see that we have no strength, but we also know that he will not turn us away. Let's see this in Abraham's life, okay? Or Abram's. Later, God changes his name to Abraham. And this prayer ties in really well. Now, at first, it's a little hard to see because it's kind of out of the blue. God comes to this man named Abram and says, you know what? I'm going to take you and I'm going to take you to this promised land. I'm going to take you and I'm going to make you a great nation. And you're thinking, there must have been something about Abram. He must have been a rock star. He must have been an amazing dude. And that's why God picked him. We have nothing of that. We have no resume. You know, we don't even know that Abram was really like applying for the job or anything like that. All we know actually is God plucked him out of all the other people in the world. So it's about grace. It's about mercy. Don't misjudge things. Abram had no strength in himself. This prayer works for him too. You see, Lord, that I have no strength in myself. And in fact, the prayer keeps going. It works out really well with Abram and his wife Sarai. Because, I mean, God takes them and he takes them to see the promised land, but then there's a problem. There's a famine in the promised land. So they're like, okay, this is where we're going to be, but for now we're going to have to go to Egypt because we're going to need some food. And they get to Egypt, and Abram realizes his wife's, she's pretty good looking. And as they're coming into Egypt, he figures they're going to kill me so that they can have my wife. And so he makes up a whole story that they're brother and sister, and it gets all confusing. And really, it's all based on Abram's weakness, his sinfulness, his not trusting that God is going to work through this. And eventually, God corrects him. So look at the prayer again. Oh God, you see that Abram himself had no strength. By your mighty power, defend us from all adversities that may happen to the body. So God was going to protect them in Egypt, give them food. He does protect Abram and keeps Abram from being killed. But he also needs to defend Abram from all evil thoughts that may assault and hurt the soul. Abram's evil thought is that he needs to take matters into his own hands. He needs to somehow do this himself. And God comes along and says, that's not how we're doing things. You of yourself are weak. Instead, let God be the mighty power. Let him be that one. So then, just to bring it all together today, let's just play around with words a little bit. Abram leaves the ground of his homeland to go to this new ground. See what I'm doing here? Playing with words. Do you humor me, please? Thank you. But it's a good reminder. So Abram leaves the ground, his homeland, because God says, let's go to this ground. But it's kind of amazing. And you think, wow, Abram gave up everything to go to this other land. But here's the thing. This homeland of Haran or Haran, it's not like it's been in the family for generations. In fact, Abram's father, if you go at the end of Genesis chapter 11, you'll see this. Abram's father, Terah, brought his family to Haran. and that's where they settled. Abram was already born. This is not like they've been there for years and years and years. You know, they settled in Gurney in, 1892 or something, right? They just kind of got there within Abram's lifetime. In fact, his father, you know where his father was headed? Canaan. His father was headed to the promised land, but they got the Haran, they took a rest stop, and it just kind of turned into year after year. The mobile home didn't become a mobile home again, and they just stayed there, right? And so when God comes to Abram and says, let's go, he's asking him to leave this ground to go to this ground. Really, though, what he's saying is, leave this place where you think there is security and identity, and go to this other place where your identity and security are in me. Leave this ground to go to my ground. And that's what God calls on us to do also. God, you see that in of ourselves we are weak. And we put our ground, we put our foundation, we put our security and identity and a lot of things that we think are going to be the thing. But really, they're just rest stops. They're places we were never meant to really stay that long. I mean, think about the things. What are the things that are at the top of your list about who you are and your identity? What do you put on your name tag? What do you put on your social media? What is that? What are those things that are core to you? And God comes along and says, those are nice, but that's not your ground. That's not the thing to base everything on. Instead, come to my ground. Come to my land. Come to my grace, my mercy, my love in Jesus Christ. May your security and identity be in my promise, not this other thing over here. God calls Abram, who is weak, and defends him and brings him by God's strength to a promise. God takes us who are weak. And he brings us into his land, his promise, his Jesus. By his strength, this is our hope. This is how God works. Leave the ground to go to his ground. Follow God's promise, because he is answering our prayers in ways we never anticipate. But he keeps saying, don't trust in these things, trust in what I can do, and I will give you this promise. Amen.